Blog Talk Radio.
Like we always do about this time. Good morning, fam. How you all doing? It is Saturday, the 23rd of April. Here we go. We're almost into May. God dang, where did this year go? Happy belated 420 day for those of you all that participate, celebrate. Not my thing. However, I was a kid once upon a time. And in those early years, boy, I tell you, it was some, you know what, we ain't going to go into that. Anyhow, it's good to be back. It's good to be home. You know, the show never stops. As they say in showbiz, the show must go on. So we did do our thing while I was away last week in New Orleans and whatnot. And I'm appreciative of everybody keeping it together like that. We're coming back this week. And it's not really a continuation of the show from last week, but a continuation of the theme. I have some of my family members coming on, and we're going to discuss today finding your person. And we got into a very good conversation about that around the table in New Orleans about that very thing, because, you know, it doesn't, the package is the package. The wrapper may be very different, but that doesn't mean that you should not be accepting of the package when it comes to you. And one of my sister-in-laws was talking about how before my brother that she married, she would not have even considered him to be her type. So I'm sitting there and I'm engrossed into their conversation, and I'm like, yo, you know, that would be an excellent topic for the show, because, you know, oftentimes we get stuck on what we hear, what we see, you know, the common expression, we all know it, at age-old narrative of, you know, there's never a, you don't get a second chance to make a first impression. That's one of them. Also the narrative of if I see something I like, I go for it. Well, here we are talking about folks who did not see they most commonly liked, but they are very much in that love space. And I think that's a wonderful thing. I think that's worth celebrating. So I wanted to talk about it. I think, you know, Rodney talks about our need to become a family, our need to unify and making that the foundation of our community, which is very important. But how do we do that if we keep getting in front of ourselves with respect to even finding a mate, a prospective mate? And, you know, I think too often some people, no, that's not true. I won't say some. I'll say a lot of people get in their own damn way of their happiness because they're stuck and stubborn on the visual versus the actual. You know, what you want may not be what you need. And that may sound as a contradictory, but it very is. And it's not about settling. No, you're not settling. You're understanding that the priorities in life, your needs, much, much, much outweigh your wants. So that's how that's going. So that's how that's going. So yeah, man, it's about that today. It's definitely about that. But in addition to that, the NFL draft is drawing near, so we may get into bits and pieces about that. The war in Ukraine is still raging on, as we know. The war at the gas pump is on the rise again as well. I don't know about you, but it's $4 and above here in Maryland. We came out of a 30-day state holiday as far as the gas tax is concerned, and it was definitely a rude eye awakening because when I left, gas was under $4. I came back, it was over $4, and I was like, shit, what the hell happened? You know, but then I remembered that it was the end of the 30-day gas holiday. So we are all feeling the pinch at the pump as we are about to embark on our summer holidays and vacations and stuff like that. Maybe we'll delve into that a little bit later and see how much of an impact that's actually happening. I'm sorry, that's actually having on folks as they either make plans, adjust plans, or cancel plans. Because, you know, look, man, you shouldn't have to be forced to decide whether you want to fill up the gas tank or eat. You really shouldn't. And, you know, definitely you shouldn't be in a situation where you feel so stressed at the gas pump because you don't know if you can maintain that and maintain your job or your business. You know, hell, God, if you have a business that requires you to drive a lot for whatever the reasons, that has to be hitting your bottom line big time right now. So this is not something that we just want to allow to slide by. It's definitely something we want to look into and talk about. But with all that being said, I was thumbing through Facebook trying to catch up this week, and I saw a picture that Rodney posted, and he was saying how he was feeling under the weather. This was a couple of days ago, and he was talking about how his mentor turned him on to his mentor, and it got me to thinking about, who are you listening to? You know, if you're the smartest person in the room, you need to change the room. Absolutely. If you are the one that always has an opinion or one that comes up with the most valid opinion all the time, you need to change the circumstance. You need to change your circle of friends, because that's not how this is supposed to. We don't learn like that. We don't grow like that. You need someone around you that's going to challenge your ideas or challenge your assumptions. So it warms my heart to know that my mentor, Mr. Rodney Smith, is always looking out to better himself. Because in a selfish way for me, all it does is help me become sharper. And I'm very appreciative of that. But not only that, the narrative of the non-unification or the mistrust or the lack of communication within our community is very strong. And to see people reach out to others and want to close that gap. It's awe-inspiring. It truly warms my heart and gives me hope upon which to build on, and gives me that energy to keep moving forward and to fight the good fight day in and day out. And family, I'm telling you, you all know it. We all know it. It's tough out here fighting that good fight. You know, it's easier to go with the grain. It's easier to potentially even give up. But to continue to fight that fight day in and day out, that thankless battle in which you seem to be the only one in the front time and again, it can wear you down. It can wear you down. And that was one of the reasons that I needed last week. And I told this to my brother last night. I was like, yo, you know, one of the reasons I really needed to come home in a sense and to be around family so much and so immensely and even in that short period of time was just to get recharged, man. You know, it's going out here and doing this, and doing the Black Wall Street events and everything else that goes on in life. And, it can beat you down. It really can. And there's no rest for the weary. And more often than not, the strong don't get recognized. They don't get the appreciation or the accolades that others do. When they do something good one time, the consistent mofos out here that's always batting 1,000 or is always getting on base. You know, it's baseball season now, so the baseball analogies are coming out. Always getting on base, they don't get recognized. You know what I'm saying? So definitely, it was definitely time well spent. It was definitely a necessary trip on many levels, physically, spiritually, emotionally, and damn sure for the gut, because if you ain't never been to New Orleans, you missing some good-ass food. So I ate well. I dang sure slept well. I really did. And I was just so full emotionally that, as I've described before to my family, I didn't know what to do because I didn't know what emotion to express first or the strongest or whatever. You know, it was definitely beautiful. And I tell you all, in all honesty, man, you know, and we've talked about this several times on the show, self-care is so, so dang important. It's so dang unnecessary that you cannot, I don't think there's a metric that you really can utilize to measure it. But I want to say to you that it is uber important, seriously. So please, if you ever have the opportunity, if it's something as simple as getting a manicure and pedicure, if it's something as simple as just taking a walk in the park, if it's something, it could be something as simple as, you know, your favorite ice cream or dessert, whatever that might be. And you know, a couple minutes in a shop, or a cafe, wherever, to enjoy that by yourself. You know, self-care is so important. Please don't skip out on that. It will help to keep you sane in this crazy, crazy world. And there are times when even I say, man, this world crazy is it. But I then fall back to my normal stance, which is the world has always been crazy. The difference now is we have access to the craziness 24/7, 365 a day. And I say that especially for the younger folks because, you know, as a kid coming up, television used to go off at a certain hour. Don't get that. The television signed it, the signal would cut off around, what was it, like midnight, 1 o'clock, Monday through Thursday-ish. And then on the weekends, it was like 2, 4 in the morning. And then, you know, in the 80s, there started being these infomercials. And they started rolling overnight. And it expanded the television signal. And, you know, you went from that to actual TV programming in the middle of the night. And that transformed into cable television which was, in effect, 24 hours, 365. So it took television from, you know, a, what, 16, maybe 18-hour day to a 100% 24-hour day. And it wasn't like this was a huge span of time. You know, this happened fairly quickly, but you would have missed it if you weren't there. You know, if you were born in 83 versus 82, you know no difference. You know, it's stuff like that. You know, it's very subtle changes, but they happen very quickly. I was just having this conversation yesterday, and I was like, man, the late 70s, early 80s saw so many leaps and bounds with respect to technology, societal norms, everything, in my opinion, that because I am a 70s baby, I don't know if there was another time that moved that quickly. You know what I'm saying? And it really, I was listening to a song the other day. It was Funkmaster Flex's very first mixtape, and he was talking about auto reverse. And, you know, get out your seat and flip this around if you don't have auto reverse or whatever, was his direct quote. And I was like, yo, I haven't even thought about auto reverse. And God knows, probably 30 years? Seriously, because who has auto reverse? You know, we went from records, if you're that old, to cassette tapes, to CDs. Now everything is digital. You know, hell, we've been in this digital mode, hell, at least 15 years. You know what I'm saying? So the cassette tape went belly up or obsolete, I guess, around, what you think, around late 80s, early 2000, I mean early 2000. I don't even know if it made it into the year 2000, to be honest with you. And if it did, it barely made it into the year 2000. Because, again, by that time, everybody had CDs. So you went from CDs to this, you download whatever you want to download, and the streaming services, and you play it like that. Like, yeah, that's nothing, you know. That was 22 years ago. That's 22 years ago. When you're young, 22 years seems like it's forever. When you're older, 22 years was a moment. You know, this is one of the conversations that I tend to have with my young people. You know, say, yo, and I understand it now from my grandparents' perspective. My grandfather used to say to me all the time, like, do it now. Get it done now. You know, time waits for no one. And I didn't get it when I was younger because you're young. You think you have forever to do stuff. When you get older, you find out really quickly how quickly time moves and how short life really is. You know, you hit that point where you see more folks that you know start passing away than being born. It's like, wow, this is bananas, you know. And you get to that point where, you know, you hit patches where it's months on end, and every time you turn around, somebody's transitioning away from this world. And you don't see that many people being born in this world, in your circle. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, man, you know, that stuff happened very, very quickly, and it was hugely impactful on the rest of our social behaviors. So, yeah, absolutely. Self-care, take care of you. If you don't take care of you, you can't take care of anybody else. And all of it falls apart. It really does. It all falls apart. It definitely goes by the wayside if you aren't taking care of yourself. Because if you are the strength that everybody leans on, then you ain't got it. How are they supposed to get it? How are they supposed to push on? How are they supposed to make a way? It's not going to happen. So, yeah. I suggest it, recommend it highly to everybody. And again, it doesn't have to be anything extravagant. It doesn't have to be a trip. It doesn't have to cost you a lot of money. It could be it's something as simple as just taking a walk in the park, taking the drive. Well, hell, nowadays that might cost you a whole lot of money. So I don't know how long you want to drive, but you know, it could be that in and of itself. If you want to push it to that, you know, it could be your favorite dessert after a meal. It could be your favorite meal at your favorite restaurant, or the one you only go to for your birthday, or the one you only go to for anniversaries, or whatever. You know, just a break from the norm so you can sit back, get your center, and refocus on the task at hand. And adulting is a daunting task. I had to do some adulting yesterday, had to pay some bills. Don't know if you all are familiar with the Easy Pass. In Florida, it's called, I think it's called the Sun Pass in Florida. I forget what it is in Texas. I know it's in Ohio. I know it's in Illinois. And there are some tolls in Georgia as well. I don't know what the hell it's called in Georgia. But this is a electronic device in your car that when you drive on toll roads, it pays for the tolls for you. So you don't have to stop. Especially before the pandemic. You know, you have to stop, pay the people in the booth, and then you can move on. Well, I don't know what happened, but somehow or another, my payment information got mixed up, not validated, whatever. I think I changed my credit card, to be honest with you. And I got this notification that my account was in a negative. I'm like, how the hell is that even possible? Like, this isn't just tied to any credit card. This is tied to my bank account, so I wouldn't have these issues. You know what I'm saying? But then I did remember that I did change my credit card because I wanted to tap the Go joint, and I got that recently. So I'm pretty sure that's what happened. And I wanted new technology. So, but when they went to draw the money out of the town, they couldn't. And I'm just thinking that it was a glitch in the system. So to be honest with you, I didn't pay attention to it to be there. But, you know, I kept getting the emails. I'm like, okay, look, I need to make some time to slide on over there. So I slid on over there yesterday, and they helped me out and got me squared, and I'm good on that. But, man, look, it didn't cost me a lot of money, thank God. But the just the effort to do it, because it's off the beaten path. And here in Baltimore, they really set you up. There's only one that you can hit without actually going through the toll. All the other ones, you have to go through the toll first, go to them, and then when you leave, you got to go through the toll again. Yeah, they get you good. They get you real good, son. So this one, I was able to get in before I hit the toll, and then when I left, I only had to go through the toll when I left. I didn't, you know, again, I didn't have to go two times and stuff. So that was my yesterday, really just paying bills and handling stuff that I don't get to address as often because I still work crazy as damn schedule. And I have a pretty full plate in general. So I took yesterday to really focus on those things and catch up on life. So life didn't steamroll me over, to be honest with you, and stuff like that. Like I have an iPhone and an Android. I don't like the Fruity phone. I canceled the Fruity phone yesterday. So that I could, but it's something I bought because I intended to do a YouTube series. The YouTube series never came to be, and that's okay. Hell, I think all in all, I've had the phone for like 2 years. Really, I made a total time I've used the phone a week, maybe two, if you add up all, I mean, in the 2 years, real talk, if you add up all that time that I've actually talked on that phone, or use that phone for the show. You know, it may be like 2 weeks. If it's a month, I'd be totally freaking shocked, to be honest with you. But that's neither here nor there. Oh, you know what? That's not true. Because a couple of weeks ago, I was having problems with the Android phone, so I had to change all the calls over to the iPhone. So maybe a little longer. But point is made, it's not much longer. And I've been carrying this damn thing around for like 2 years. So I finally canceled that and shut that down. Again, just the adulting piece, man. You know, I need to pick up my granddaughter tomorrow, spend some time with her and stuff like that. You know, but now, again, I'm coming off of this emotional replenishment, this physical replenishment, so I have time to attack that stuff again. Yeah, and the energy to attack that stuff again. So I'm ready. I'm ready. And that's what pumps me up and gets me ready for you all on Saturday mornings, because, you know, I make sure somewhere in the week I shut it down. Like, okay, look, no matter what's going on, you got to be ready for Saturday. And there it is. You know, even on the Saturdays, I got to run out on you all a little early and let everybody else come on. You know, I'm still more prepared than not. And this week, Sister Rashi was having some system issues, so she's not able to join us. Rodney still wasn't feeling well. He may be able to pop in a little while longer. A little while later. But if not, that's totally understandable. I just want to get the guests on. I want to get this conversation brewing, get them in, get them out. And then I actually got invited last minute, got an invitation to go to Philadelphia because they're doing a tribute to the Negro League. So, you know, I'm huge into the Negro Leagues and whatnot. So I'm going to take advantage of that today. So the show may be a shortened show, and that's okay. You know, the information that we need to get out, we're going to get out. We're going to do what we do, and when we'll continue on. The brother that was supposed to come on with Tiff a couple weeks ago for Poetry Month, I was not able to capture him until today. We're going to talk today at 2 o'clock, so I'll get with him. God willing, Creek Don't Rise. I'll be able to bring him on next week so we can end Poetry Month on a very high note. I'll reach out to him and a couple other folks that I know. Because, again, I want to have some fun before we get out of this. I didn't know that this was also, I want to say it's National Child Abuse Month as well. So I found that out yesterday. I went to Fort Meade Air Force Base. That's a contradictory term, just a local joke. But I went to Fort Meade and I saw the signs and stuff. So that got my mind to clicking. And I'm going to reach out to some folks that are doing that work as well so we can have a conversation with them about what they're doing and how we can potentially help. As you all know, we have a political tilt. Yes, we do. But we talk about anything and everything on the show. So I don't want to turn a blind eye to folks that are doing great work like that. So, you know, I'm going to reach, see who I can grab, bring them on, and we'll have that conversation. Outside of that, you know, I'm just trying to lay low for another month or so because the Capital Jazz Fest is on the horizon, and that's big. But my sister also has another opera to do coming up soon in the Hampton Roads area. She's going to be doing that in June. June. So I'm going to be tied up in doing both of those, but it's all good in the hood. Everybody's on now. So, family, I told you all before that I was going to bring you up cold, but I'm going to bring you up hot because my co-hosts and my panelists are neither one are here today. So it's just us. I want to introduce you all to the listening audience. First off, we're going to go from oldest to youngest. I would be the youngest in this instance, but we're going to leave that alone. My older brother, Todd, and his wife, Yvonne, and then my other older brother, Melvin, and his wife, Charlene. Good morning, family. How you all doing?
Good. How you doing?
We're good. How you doing this morning?
Good morning.
All right. Morning. So I did a nice lead-in about what we were going to be discussing this morning, about, you know, finding your person. And Charlene really kicked this conversation off as we were sitting around the table. And, you know, because Melvin's still like he about 30 years old on the high note. You know, I swear for Lord, I hope I get that. I hope I keep that gene in the family, boy. I swear. She was saying how initially there was no connection, but over time they built a nice connection. And then talking to you, Todd, and talking to your wife, I was like, yo, it's a similar story. You know what I'm saying? Now, Todd did a little more stalking of his wife, but we ain't going to get into that because that's their personal business. But it worked out good in the end. That's all we're going to say about that, right? But
yes, sir.
But seriously, man, I really just wanted to, you know, keep it real with ourselves and our folks that, you know, what we have in our head isn't always the person that we wound up with. So if you don't mind, I want to start with Charlene and have her tell her story and her truth about, you know, her and Mel.
Hello again, everyone. I met my husband in Phoenix, Arizona, back in 96, and I was about to get out the military. He was also active duty. I was kind of done with dating and wasn't interested. And a friend of his, a good friend of his, who happened to be our best man in our wedding, introduced us. And I was like, okay, whatever. In my mind, most of the guys I dated who, in my mind, I thought I would be the wife of was this 6'2-plus, athletic, light-skinned, was my ideal person in my mind. What I did know is that God had something else for me, and it was Melvin. He's about 5'5", gorgeous brown, and just the love of my life. And when we met, we talked. The first time we started talking when we first met, we've never stopped. From that night to this day, we still talk. And I think that is what has brought us to where we are coming on 26 years of marriage.
No, that's what's up. You said a gorgeous brown. That's what I'm talking about. I like that. That's a good description right there. A gorgeous brown. I can see that smile on his face right now. Yeah, baby, talk to him. Talk to him. Tell him what you got on here. Mel.
Yeah.
Was it the
yeah,
same
the smile
thing,
is
bro?
Wrong for real, bro. Hmm?
Was it the same for you, bro?
Well, yeah, pretty much. So, you know, same version of the story. You know, we saw each other for over a year, but we never spoke. We never talked. We walked past each other two or three times a week because we worked in the same place. We just kind of nodded at each other, kind of a respect, sister to brother kind of thing. And we kept on going. But, you know, we were both at a point where relationship was really a serious relationship was the last thing on our mind. But I can tell you that after speaking with her that night for about 6 hours, we never stopped talking. But I know I left that conversation at night thinking to myself, man, if she's for real, I could marry her. So my idea of our relationship had changed immediately because she was a keeper for me. She wasn't somebody that I was going to play around with, have fun with, blah, blah, blah. She was something special. And so then my pursuit became that. You know, she's something special, and I want her to be something special in my life. You know, so, yeah, so kind of the same thing. You know, we talk about her and I talk about things like our ideal person. That's why I know that I wasn't her ideal person from a visual eye candy point of view, right? Now she's probably blinded, and all that she can see is this beautiful chocolate, whatever you describe my skin. Yeah. But,
gorgeous brown,
yeah, that's it. You know, but,
that's what I'm talking about, family. That's what I'm talking about. You said something that really caught my ear. You said a serious relationship was out of the window. Why is that, though? At least that's how you felt in the moment.
So, yeah, that's how I felt in the just my overall persona, my whole overall being was I was not interested in anything serious. But having a conversation with her changed that for me. It did something. But I think part of our part of what was happening in that conversation, I was telling her about me. And this was important to our relationship, was that neither one of us was looking for anything. And so both of us was very, very honest in our communication.
Yes.
We weren't trying to woo each other. We weren't trying to
impress
anybody. We were just really, truly being ourselves. And so I had some kind of hard views on things when it came to relationships and stuff like that. And then rather than criticizing me about it, telling me I was male chauvinistic, old-fashioned view or any of that type of stuff, what she did was ask me why I felt that way or what brought me to that point or that way of thinking. And so what eventually happened was is that I learned a lot about myself from a conversation with her in 6 hours. So it was really it was life-changing for me, you know. And so, and not that I didn't know who I was, but that person was buried, and she brought that person back, you know. And
gotcha.
So it was just, I don't know, did I answer your question well or not?
Yeah,
I went
on a tangent. It's all good. Look, the show usually goes off on a tangent. You ain't done nothing we don't normally do, so it's all good. Yvonne, morning, sis.
Good morning.
So what did you find in my brother Todd that, you know, you didn't necessarily think or see yourself finding before him?
when I met Todd, it was a moment where I was very worried about my dad, vulnerable. I wasn't looking for anything. Actually, it was in Vegas, in the ER room. So I wasn't even looking for anything. I was just, you know, trying to get my dad some help. And I walked in to the ER, try to get my dad settled down. And from there, it just happened, I guess.
With Melvin and Charlene, you know, it started with a conversation. You know, I happened to be working at ER that day, and I just, you know, saw the love and how she took care of her dad, and I was like, wow, you know. And, you know, that outside thing, you know, we all see, you know, it's like blam. And,
right.
But, you know, the interaction, you know, saying, hey, ask her if she needs anything, you know, what can I help to make her and her family comfortable, you know, at the point that where I was at. And, you know, a few days later, he ended up on the floor that I normally work on versus working in the ER. And so that was on a Friday. I was off the next day, and I actually got up, got myself together, and came into work just to say hi to people, you know, see how everybody's doing.
Uh-huh.
You know, but I had another thing in mind. Here's my stalker. So she had actually left, you know, and went back to California. And but, you know, I had access to the phone number. So when her dad left, you know, I just shot her a text, said, hey, you know, just wanted to let you know that, you know, your father's moved to such and such place. Here's a phone number. And if you need anything, let me know. And that was it.
I was like, wow, this hospital is awesome. Now they text you to let you know, the status of the patient there. I was like, whoa, where have I been?
He went
not
above and
that,
beyond.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Not knowing that, you know, he was going through the file and picking up my number.
I wasn't going through no file like that. You gave it up.
Okay, I gave the number to the nurse. And
that's a HIPAA violation.
Funny.
Thank you.
Oh, my goodness. Well, he was thinking, no. But anyways, that's how it all started. And, you know, it just, you know, I was like, wow. So I'm like, okay, so who's this? You know, he's like, oh, you know, from the medical center, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, well, thank you very much. From the ER. So I'm like, okay. So this was the big clue when I asked him, were you wearing black scrubs? I mean, because he stood out. He's very tall, very handsome.
I'm about to say,
that's
kind of easy for him to do.
right. So I kind of did eyeball him, you know, for a minute. But when I said black scrubs, I knew exactly who he was. And I was like, wow.
And it took off from there. Days on end, conversations.
Hours at work. I'm working and we're talking. And, you know, I'm like, okay, hold on. Let me put you on a quick hold, you know, pick up a call and continue. It was just so much that we talked. This was November 3rd.
2017
when we Hello? Yeah. We're
still here. Okay, so there's something happened.
Yvonne?
I think they went mute. I think they went mute. Hello?
Who went mute?
We're here.
Okay, she stopped. Okay, I didn't know. I thought you were still talking. I'm sorry. I apologize. But okay, so that's what's up. You remember the day. I'm black scrub.
Actually, it was in the morning. It was like 7 o'clock in the morning.
You know, so from that day, we didn't see each other or anything until the, what, 1st of December?
1st of December.
You
I
know,
came back.
Her out to Vegas, came out. She, you know, went on a date.
First date.
And we've been together since.
That's what
so the love that this man has, he worked 3 days a week, and right, you know, after he got off, he drove 3.5 hours, didn't matter what time it was, to come back home every week.
So, you know, when you talk about, you find that one, you do things to be, you know, with that person. So, you know, I was at 12-hour shifts at a hospital 3 or 4 days a week. And so I had changed my schedule. I would work 3 days in a row, right? And I'm off for like 6 days, right? And I would drive down here, stay in California. Then the day before I go back to work, I drive to Vegas, stay there for a week, you know, do my time. And then as soon as I get off, I would drive right back to California for a week. And we did that for, almost a year, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
And then the kids were like, Mom, why does he keep traveling like this?
He should just move in. That's what the kids said.
Wow.
Yeah.
You got in there with the kids, son? The kids was advocating for you? And that's a good thing. Since you found one another, what has been the biggest surprise for you? Melvin, I'm going to start with you.
So what has been the biggest surprise? That she's still with me.
I didn't want to say that, bro.
over the years, you know, we've done a lot of growing, and regardless of how much talking we did and how much we thought we prepared ourselves for each other, you know, when we made the decision to get married, you still learn something new every day. And so I would say
there's no real surprises other than what Melvin said, is that as much as we thought we were ready, we weren't ready. But communication is the key. And a big thing with communication is learning and understanding how your partner communicates.
Yeah.
We were very fiery in the beginning. I mean, he said something I didn't like, I fired back. He said, I said something he didn't like, he fired back. I had to learn to peace and be still for a minute and let my spirit tell me when it was time to communicate and how to communicate what I was feeling so he would receive it. Because if it just bounces back, you're still in that same place. You have to find a way that he understands how you feel in a receptive way that he's willing to hear you and adjust. And the same for me.
Yeah. It was. So when you always hear, communication is that's the most important part of relationship. You know, I used to always say BS, and I'll still say BS because if you're not communicating correctly, then it doesn't matter how
correct.
Much you communicate. So how the message is delivered and how well it's received is the most important thing. So not communication, but how you communicate, because it's just different. You know, I joke about my wife all, you know, certain things like, I want you to, this is past stuff now. I want you to do this because you want to do it. When, damn it, I'm never going to do it. Because if I wanted to do it, then I would already be doing it. You know, so you have to, sometimes you have to accept that the fact that when somebody does something for you, then it's out of love for you. And it doesn't matter whether they want to or not, but the mere fact that they're doing it because you want it, you have to accept that, you know, and don't do that when you want to. I'm going to tell you, there was some stuff I didn't do for 7 years. Because she said, I want you to want to do it. Well, it took me 7 years to want to do it.
You didn't
want to
do it.
You know.
Right.
I didn't want to do it. Right. You know, so, okay, we're going like that, you know. And that's the first thing you said to me. You rest assured that I heard that, you know.
Right.
So it's about how you communicate. And so I guess the surprise – So she said, there aren't any surprises. Sure they are. You know, my ability to communicate at that level that we communicate on and right now is really a surprise to me. And in all honesty, you know, I didn't have like, guys in my family, they weren't no communicators and talk about feelings and all that type of crap, right? That was out the door.
Right.
They went to work. They brought home the check. Made sure the bills got paid, and that was the extent of relationship that I saw. So, so when you got somebody trying to make you feel or recognize something that's inside of you, it's different. It's scary. It's unnatural, and it doesn't make sense. So now being at a point now where I know the difference between my thoughts and some feelings puts me in a totally different place, and that's surprising to me. When the fact that I stop and think about how something might make my wife feel versus just being real factual with stuff, you know, it is what it is, you know, versus man, she probably won't feel too great about that, or that makes me her feel some kind of way or set her off or whatever, you know. So it's yeah, okay. I'm going to shut up and let somebody. My wife told me I was talking too much.
No. I want to say something. I want to go off on a tangent because I told you the show always goes off on a tangent. But Todd, I'm going to let you all answer the same question. You were talking about the family that you grew up in and how people show emotions. Publicly, I will say, and I think I've said this before, and if I didn't, that's okay. I'm going to say it. And if I did, you got to listen to it again, y'all, so get over it. The first man that I can recall to tell me that they love me was Todd. We were at Lincoln East, and I wanted a hat. So I was like, yeah, I saw the hat, and I grabbed the hat. Rounded the corner, and I saw the sweatshirt, and I was like, ooh. I was like, ooh. And Todd was like, oh, what's up? And I was like, I love that sweatshirt. He was like, well, get it. And I was like, yeah, my money ain't set up like that. So he was like, get that shit. I was like, you know what? Yeah, I'm going to get that shit. I'm going to get it. I'll be all right. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to make it. So
you know, here I am with the hat and the shirt. We still shopping and stuff. We get in line. So Todd and Milt are in front of us. You, Todd and Milt are in front of us, I believe. So, you know, I'm standing back. Todd puts his stuff up on the counter. He looks at me. He's like, yo, put your stuff up on the belt. I was like, no, I got it. He's like, all right. So he turns around. He says a couple more words. He comes back to me. He says, yo, put your stuff up on the belt. And I was like, Todd, no, I got it. He said, bro, put your shit on the belt. I got you, bro. I'm not doing it. I was like, he said, bro, I love you, man. I'm not going to let you be broke. I got this. Don't even worry about that. Dog, I put my shit on the belt. I stepped back, and I started crying in line. I started bawling in line. He grabbed me. He hugged me. He was like, yo, you good? As long as I'm alive, you good. I got you, bro. I was done, son. I didn't know what to say. I was just shook. Whole thing. I was like, damn. He said, man, I love you, man. Like, wow. At that point, I really started bawling. You know what I'm saying? I was done. Done.
Wow.
So, yeah, you know what I'm saying? But, and that has never changed. That those actions, that connection has never changed. Because, in all honesty, when we were together, I didn't spend a lot of time with Todd. You know, I really didn't. You know, it was hit or miss here and there. But obviously, he saw something in me that I wasn't seeing, you know what I'm saying? So yeah, it was
right.
it changed the entire trajectory of my life. This is why I said when we were crossing the street on St. Peter's, I said I am nothing without y'all. I am not who I am today without you all. It would not have happened. It would not have happened. I was hard. I was cold. I was that New York Baltimore mix. I didn't give a damn. You know what I'm saying? Like, it is what it is. If you don't like it, if you want to fight, I'll see you around the corner. It is what it is. You know what I'm saying? And then, you know, they gave guns to me, so if you really want to get into a son, trust me, you're going to lose. Trust me, you're going to lose. You know what I'm saying? So, I think you might want to think about who you're talking to before you start talking to me. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, but that's the tangent. I'm sorry. Todd, for you and Yvonne, what have you all found surprising in you finding one another?
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. You got my man over here bawling. So what I found out when I'm with Todd, I mean, I can be myself. I can be silly. I can, you know, I can act like myself, and it just feels, you know, so comfortable because, you know, I feel like he understands me. And even my family, oh, you know, we haven't seen you this happy. A quick story. Every year we go camping, you know, before COVID, and I've never slept in a tent. You know, I love my kids, and I've always had SUVs and slept in the SUV, you know, blew up a mattress here. And I'm like, okay, my kids, I love you so much.
I
love you guys. But be careful with those bears, okay?
Right.
You know, I'm like, I love my kids, but be careful with those bears. So every year, this is me. But the first year that Todd joined us, he's like, oh, heck no, you're not going to sleep in the car. We came camping, so you're going to sleep in the tent. And everybody's like, what? You know, she never sleeps in, you know, in the tent. But that was the first year that I slept in the tent. And my family was like, wow, you know, what happened? You know, the joy that they see when I'm, you know, see in me when I'm around Todd. And, I mean, the joy that they get when, I mean, because he's a funny cat, you know. I love the way he, you know, he's silly and, you know, he's just funny. So that's what the big change for me, that I can be myself and I can love myself, you know, because I was usually a very serious person, you know, ha ha hee hee. But no, now I'm a silly person, and I say what I think. You know, I'm just, you know, people probably thought I lost my mind. But anyway, that's how I feel. I feel like, you know, like he has my back on everything I do, everything I say, and that he always have my back. So that's what makes me fall in love with him every single day.
That's what's up.
My baby.
Mm-hmm. Bro, what you got? If I didn't have you cry, she had you crying at that point, dog. I mean, you know, my goodness gracious.
So he can't say nothing right now. He's still crying.
I want to regress, take a step back right quick. All right, when Charlene was talking about, you know, the communication of male, you know, we are still going through some of those things as well. You know, it's how do you talk to your partner to get the, not to get the right response, but not to make them upset, not to say, you know, like we have a cultural thing too, because, you know, she's from Mexico, you know, and an age gap as well. So it's, you know, things for us, it's, you know, Charlene, like you were saying, you would say something and they would say something, y'all, and we, you know, we've had that, but, you know, we're working through the communication and things. A great book for whoever's listening is was the 5 love languages.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that, you know, that talks about communication and what, you know, what type of person you're with and how to help, you know, understand them and do things like that. So anyway, that's all I want to say on that part.
Okay.
Get me back on track, bud.
No, it's all right. So I was asking, what's the biggest surprise you found when finding her?
The biggest surprise in finding her, the overwhelming, she, you know, we always talk, she's like, look, I'm family-oriented. I don't go to clubs. I don't do this, you know. And, you know, like, okay, all right, well, you know. And so, but to see that, oh, my goodness, it was like every weekend, every other weekend, house full of people. You know, and the love and the support and the way they embraced me, you know. Actually, we're going down to San Diego today for her youngest uncle's birthday / their anniversary.
Okay.
And it's going to be, you know, and so just the overwhelming love for family, you know, and how her family's embraced me and brought her, me into them is the same way that my family over this past weekend has brought, you know, just like we embrace her into our family, you know.
I like that dig. I like the way you slid that in. Okay, now you try to get me to cry over here. I got you. I caught that one. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And it was a pleasure to finally meet her, you know what I'm saying, and be around her so she can see all our craziness, because, you know, we crazy. We're a good crazy.
I love each and every one of you guys.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm sorry to cut you off, but my biggest thing was I told her, I said, look, babe, you want to know me, you need to be here. Right?
Right. Mm. Right. Yeah. Yeah, I think I went through the same thing.
I'm going to say some things and do some things that I ain't going to do around other people.
Oh my goodness.
Can I?
And you know,
the love, love that each one of you guys have for each other, I can see it. And I told my mom, Mom, this is brother love. These guys would do anything for each other. And I love that. I feel, you know, I felt right at home. Each and one of you guys are so special. And this has to, you know, every year we should get together and hang out, and you know, we have to, you know, keep in contact. I want to be part of your guys' life as I want you guys to be part of mine.
Oh, absolutely. Go ahead, Sean.
Todd said something to Yvonne, if you want to get to know me, you need to be here. Well, what I got out of our weekend was everything you guys talked about and how you portrayed and expressed Melvin was everything he is to me in my life. He is everything, I said, constant. When I first met him, the history that he had before I met him was expressed in all of you guys' communication and love for one another. I'm like, yes, this is the man I married.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, wow.
So y'all killed the checks in the mail.
Look, man, that dude was the innkeeper in more ways than one. Mel was the innkeeper. You know what I'm saying? Like, shucks, man. If the agent, yeah, I like the way she said that. That's her nickname for you, by the way, Mel, if you don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I'm thinking about having a shirt printed. I like it.
Nice.
But, okay. So, you know, now that the love and the trust are there and, you know, we're prospering in marriage, congratulations to you both. To both being couples, not just individuals. Congratulations to all of you on finding the love of your life and the continued years and successes of your marriage. You know, as our children get older and we start having grandchildren, what are your hopes for the light that you shine back on them to show them, you know, the benefit of family and finding love. I'm going to start with Todd and Yvonne on this one.
The finding love, I wasn't looking. It found me.
Right.
That's the one big thing. When we're out looking for things, we'll find something different, not that what we're at. You know what I'm saying? We'll have something in our mind of one thing, but our heart will tell us something different, and that's what we go with. Or we should, most people should go with, but they don't. So, you know, and it's a lot of learning. Now, for the children and grandchildren, just to be a solid couple, a solid, you know, to show the love, to see, so they can grow up in love and do the right things by their partner, you know, as far as the communication, the respect, and those type of things. The only thing I can show.
Yes, I agree. Just give them a good role model. I just want them to be good people, have good hearts, and understand that regardless of what happens in family, family is all you have at the end. Family is everything.
That's it.
You know, you might get in an argument and disagree and whatever, but at the end, when something hard goes down, you know you have your family to back you up all the time.
Right. Yeah. You never lied on that.
That's my point of view to have the children understand that, you know, family. And like you guys experienced, you don't always have to be blood related. You guys have that bond that ties you guys together. The love that you guys have for each other. And that's my advice to the children, to the grandchildren, and, you know, so on.
Awesome. Mel, Charlene.
Yeah. So I'm going to basically repeat what they just said. the advice I tried to give them was through demonstration. So what they see is what they get. You know, I tried to show my son how to love a woman, how to treat a woman, how to treat their daughters by the way that I treated my daughter. You know, and so I tried to give them examples of what relationships should be like, what they should look like, so that they can go out and establish those things
on their own, and so that they're not fooled or tricked. And so my daughter, for example, you know, I always treated her like a lady because I wanted her to recognize what being treated like a lady would feel like when some guy approached her and tried to slick talk her. She'll know all of that stuff already. So now if she chose to be bamboozled, that was up to her. But she would know what love looked like, what love felt like. She would know what it was to get diamond earrings or diamond ring. Nobody can give her anything that she doesn't already have or haven't already gotten from her father. And so with that, my idea was to just simply make sure my sons know how to treat a lady, how to recognize a lady, how to treat their daughters, and for my daughter to be able to recognize a decent man. And I hope that I gave them those examples to look after and admire. And then, of course, as Yvonne said, you know, in the end, what we have is family. And so never discard your family in the process. Even when you don't talk or communicate in the daily, on the regular, because we were separated from our families, you know, when time comes that they need you or want you, that you step up and that you be there for them, you know, so. And they would do the same for you. And I'll let Sharman get cut off my rambling again.
I would just add that love who you love and follow your heart. Mm-hmm. And like Melvin said, we are ourselves around our children, around our grandchildren, and hopefully they see and understand that this is what love is. It's beautiful, it's caring, it's sharing, it's giving, it's patience, it's a lot of things. And you can say those words, but when you start to see those actions, those words start to mean things to them. And hopefully those are the things they're looking for in their partners as they grow.
Yeah, and even when the kids go, ew, and all that, because they saw us hug mm-hmm. or kiss or we said something
right.
flirty to each other, you know. I don't think it's bad for your kids to be able to see those things because these are part of who you are. And so for them to see you expressing love, concern for each other, I think that's just be natural in front of them. Don't try to hide or pretend to be anything other than that. And so my wish for my kids was that they find happiness and that they find peace within their relationships. You know,
she said that, Charlene said love is a lot of things. I honed in on this word that she used. She said sharing. Now, I have no problems with sharing, but goddamn, stay off my plate. Just don't be eating off my plate. Stay off. Your food is your food. My food is my food. You know? Especially when I'm paying the damn bill. You know what I mean? But that's what's up. Look, I'm going to wrap this up because, you know, we can go forever or we can start going on tangents, and I don't want to take up you all's time because I know it's early in the morning for you all and you all have things to do. But I want to – my panelist is on now. Rodney is on with us. So I'm going to ask Rodney before I peel off. Is there anything that he wants to say? Rodney, is there anything you want to ask or say?
Good morning, everyone. Lee, I was just loving the show. The things that your panelists said fall right in line with my life's experiences. So there wasn't really anything that I disagreed with. I did want to delve into one area, though, and one of your guest said, follow your heart. And excuse me, I'm a little under the weather. And I was wondering, is it follow your heart or is it following your mind? And then your heart goes with your mind. Sometimes they are not always the same. And then I would just, if they could comment on that part of, is it your heart that you're following or is it your mind that you're following?
I, okay, I yeah, no, like no. Oh, I'm going to say, this is Charlene, and I like to say when it is real, when it is by design, and I say that spiritually, your heart and your mind will be aligned, and that's where you go. If they're not aligned, there's something wrong with that situation.
Okay, this is Todd. I made the comment. So in your mind's eye has a vision of what you think you want.
Right.
So it's going. So you're going to gravitate to one thing or another. But once your heart, you know, so in your mind you see this person, you start talking to this person, you have a conversation. And your heart, I had an ice chest on my heart. I'm going to take you for sure. And as conversations happen, you know, a touch of the hand, you know, things like that, and your heart starts to open up, and then that melts away, and then the things in your mind go away, you know, and things just come together, and you know, like you're saying, your mind is going to take you, but your heart is going to lead you. And your mind is going to keep you on the right path. That's just my vision of that. You know, my heart is here, my mind is here. I don't know if I kind of, you know, answered that.
No, it makes sense. It makes sense. It makes sense.
I got a little emotional, man. So I got distracted. All right.
can I add a little bit to that too?
Yes, sir.
It's along the same conversation that's already been taking place. So my perspective is going to come from kind of a spiritual point of view, and so I would ask everybody to think about a moment when they made some decision and they had a real uneasy or nervousness feeling inside them. And think about the outcome that resulted from that decision versus when you make a decision and you're at peace with it. The things that I have been at peace with, when I made a decision in my spirit, because I think that nervousness is my spirit, when my spirit is at peace, those decisions are about 99.99% accurate in terms of outcome that I would have wanted or expected. When I make decisions, when I know it's my head, when I know that I am thinking this to death and I have that nervousness, most of those outcomes are not so good. So I think, you know, like when Charlene says, there has to be an alignment of your mind and your heart, and that puts your spirit at rest when all things are considered. You know, so I think being conscious of your feelings, being in tune with your heart is being in tune with your spirit, and that's what I go with. So
I appreciate you all sharing that. I remember speaking to some older married couples. These were all black married couples who had been married somewhere between 20 to 50, I believe it was 20 to 54 years. That's all how long they have been married. And they told me that in the process of their marriage, that sometimes, well, that it was never 50-50 love, and that, that sometimes it was maybe not even 80-20 love, but it was the commitment and the things that they had built together that kept them together and brought it back up to 100-100 love. And so I wanted to ask you all, what do you think about that statement? And finally, is it that you fall in love or that you find someone that you fall in commitment with?
I'm gonna go out on a limb and say I found somebody that I fell in commitment with first. I loved everything about my wife. I loved everything about her. But I would say that we probably didn't fall in love for a little bit of time afterwards. But our goals, our thought processes, our feelings about family, where we wanted to be, all those things were so in tune that it just felt
like she was a part of me, you know. So when you speak in terms of percentages, I'm gonna give you two percentages. Well, you know, so if I all I got is 20 to give and she's got 80, we're still at 100 because together it's 100. It's not two different hundreds. Together we are at 100. So whoever's given whatever, that's our 100. And understand too that 100 for today may not be the same for tomorrow. Or what percentage makes up that 100? You could be given 80 today and then you're only given 20 tomorrow. But you're always still at 100 as long as you're committed to that individual and as long as you're committed to that relationship. So we're always operating at 100. Now, my other percentage is 51-49. There's no such thing as a 50-50 relationship in my mind because then you would have to be on the same accord all the time, and you're not. And so someone has to have the ultimate ultimate decision-making authority or whatever you want to call it, right? I retain 51% in our relationship. My wife has 49%. Now, let me tell you what happens on some days. My wife is a little bit smarter than me on some days, so I yield my 51 to her. So, but saying that you have to have some structure, right? There has to be something that bounds you. Our belief in relationships in terms of each spouse having a role in the relationship is what kind of binds us. Now, do we flex sometimes? Yes, we do, but that's where that 51-49 shifts to the person that's making the most sense, you know. So,
wow, that was pretty awesome. So that same group of 20-plus married people also told me that in their relationship that three words, because that's what I asked them for, was give me three words that you would pass down to younger people in life on what helped keep your relationship together. And someone mentioned the way you communicate. Well, mm-hmm. That was the communicate word. The other one was commitment. And then the third one is they said forgiveness. You have to have forgiveness for that one that you have committed your life to. And if you all could comment on those three words and how that has or has not played a role in maintaining your status as a couple.
Okay. There's a pause, so that gives me the go ahead. All right. So we kind of already talked about the commitment in the sharing and the forgiveness portion. I would say yes. There has to be some forgiveness, and the forgiveness can't be what do you call it when you put stipulations on a commitment? You know, so it has to be wholehearted forgiveness when you forgive somebody. And then you have to let it go. You can't bring it back up or keep bringing it back up. You know, there's a period of healing, of course, but you can't keep bringing things up from 25 years ago and making someone else relive this or re-justify whatever pain there was in at that moment. So those things you have to really just let go. But I would say this is that, you know, the part of the relationship that's most important, you know, when we talk about community. So this goes back to the whole communication thing, right? And so the most important part of relationship for me is to never do anything that my wife has to forgive me for. So we talk about forgiveness and all of that, but that's secondary to everything, third to the other things that you talk about. Because if those things are correct, you're never going to find yourself in a position where you have to ask for forgiveness for something. So the ideal situation is not to put yourself there. But when you do, whether you find yourself having to be asked for forgiveness or be the one doing the forgiving, it has to be without stipulation. And so I believe that if there was something that I could not forgive my wife for, then I would have to leave the relationship. Gilbert.
Yeah, that's deep, Mel. And you know, and I feel that same way on the forgive part, you know, but, and that's part of the communication and the commitment, because we're not going to consciously do anything to be, I don't know, to put ourselves in a situation that you have to be forgiven for such a heinous thing that you may lose your spouse from. I never want to put myself in that position. And that is why I have committed. So now that's why I have committed to not just to her, but to the kids, to the family, to the life.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. So the commitment and all that stuff is working the way it's supposed to be.
Right.
Then forgiveness is so far gone.
But the biggest thing is the communication.
Yes.
If you can't talk to each other about, you know, anything. You can't laugh. We laugh every day. Every day we laugh. We don't cry every day, but when we cry together.
Amen.
You know?
Amen.
And it falls all together, because without the commitment, I mean, you wouldn't have this communication and this forgiveness. So everything just blends in. You need one to have the other and to express the forgiveness. And like Todd said, this commitment, you don't put yourself in a place that you would have to, you know, lose your spouse over. It shouldn't happen, but there is time that it does, and that's where this forgiveness falls in. So I think you need these three things to have the structure and the marriage. And like these older couples that have 50 years of marriage. And that makes sense that all of this, you know, go together.
Yeah. And so, you know, in the beginning of the segment, I talked about, you know, when I was getting to know my wife, how she would ask me questions like, what led me to that belief or to the whatever position I was taking at that time, you know. And so that's key communication. So she gets to know who I am. I get to know who she is. And we do our best to avoid those things that cause each other pain. But if something were to happen or we have a disagreement of some type, if we can talk it out and come to a level of understanding, then, you know, that's an absolutely beautiful thing. And over 25 years, I would say that we had a whole lot of talking we did and came to some understandings, you know. But some of that in the beginning was my ignorance. I didn't know that this would offend her or upset her or something. But as we got to know each other better, now I'm a lot more conscious of that. And so, and then, you know, when you're in a relationship, I think you have to remember that a person is trusting you with their heart. And so are you going to be a good steward of that, or are you just going to, you know, take it for granted and use and abuse it? Well, I think anyone that's interested in a serious relationship has to be a good steward of that person's heart that they was entrusted with.
So of those 50 couples, after they gave me those three words, I pointed out to them that none of them said, I think it was about 35 to 40 couples, and they all pretty much came up with the same three words, but none of them came up with the word love. And so I asked them, why wasn't love one of those three words? And as I've listened to the show and I've listened to you all speak, that kept echoing. And so I'm going to ask you all why do you think those couples who had been married from 20 to 50, I think it was 53 years, why do you think none of them gave love as one of those three words that they would gift to young people on how to maintain a marriage?
Let me jump in this one. Love. So if you don't have those three things that we just talked about, you won't have love. Love, I don't think love is just a tangible word. Without all that other stuff, there is no love.
Yeah.
I think that's probably why none of us mentioned that. We all love, and we love hard. But it's because of those other things. No, because of the communication, the commitment, and the forgiveness. All that is love.
It comes down to the love that we have for one another is through these words, these other words. Okay, you communicate because you love that person. You're committed because you love that person, and you forgive them because you love that person. And I don't think it's necessary to say the word, because the actions of all these other words reflect the love you have for the person.
Well said.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that was actually very, very well said, Yvonne, because I would say, because people express and see love different ways. And so our conversation was our definition and how we define how we see love. So we were actually talking about that. I know folks that think that someone bought them a new car, and, oh, they must really love me because they bought them a car, you know, or something along those lines, where it was very materialistic type of and surface type of love or relationship was built on things and not built on something that's much deeper than that. And so I would say that what those other couples expressed to you was how they're defining love in their life.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think this is going to be my last one. When a lot of these couples were younger, they said they found out that a lot of their arguments involved pursuit of being right, the pursuit of being right. And they said once they discovered that being right wasn't as important to the relationship as just sometimes leaving it alone. In other words, their efforts to prove that they were right became a wedge between them. And unless it was life or death, they discovered that once they gave up that desire to be right, that their relationship became right. And I wanted you all to comment on, have you had that similar discovery, or what you think about what they have to say?
Go, baby.
All the time.
Go, baby.
All the time. We are just, oh, my goodness. It's like, we're getting counseling here. It is. We are so stubborn. Any little thing. Okay, well, you're right. Well, no, I was right. So any little thing. And we have to make it a point to say, oh, well, you see, I told you so. It's just so annoying, honestly.
You're right, babe.
It is so annoying for both of us. However, we did see that we because of these little you're right, you're wrong things came out to to nonsense, to you know, fight little, you know, arguments that really didn't matter. Now that we sit back and look at it, and we're like, oh wow, you know, it was so dumb. It's, you know, about pizza, you know, one of the last little arguments we had about pizza. God, yes. So it was just so unnecessary. So so draining, and the fact that we sit down and look at it and we're like, what the heck were we thinking? That was just so dumb. But it just, at that moment, it just gets to you on the fact that, oh no, well, you're right, well, I'm right. And when you're at that moment, but when you sit back and look at it, you're like, wow, it didn't even make sense to waste any time, you know, expressing that negative feeling.
Right.
So for us, getting through this, you know, you're right stage. You know, like you're saying, these couples you talk to 20, 30, 40, 50 years together. We're at 2.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But we're learning.
Learning every day. Mm-hmm. Watering that.
Go ahead, Charlene.
My dad had a saying, you let them go until they bump their head. Well, it took me a while to learn that because we went through, well, I told you, or I said, we'll see what happened. And now I just let him go until he discovers that I was right.
Oh, damn.
Fair enough. Hey, I like that question because I know we were talking about where we are, and thanks for taking us back to where we've been, and that is definitely a place where we visited. I'm glad we left it behind, and we do not plan to visit it again, hopefully. We went through that phase, and it's not a whole lot to say about it, but yeah, you go through it. You have a period of time when you want to be right. You know, you want to be in charge. You want to be right. That's what it comes down to. It, you know, who's in charge? That person who's right is the one that's in charge, right? So for me, that was more of a, like a power struggle type of deal, you know. So, but once we defined our responsibilities or our roles in the relationship, those things kind of died down. And yes, she's right most of the time. So.
You are a wise man.
You
are a wise
man. I appreciate you all answering those questions. And I think that this is one of those shows that every relationship group should listen to this show and take in what you all had to say. And I say this up front to all of you who are listening and the things that you've heard on the show today that may seem counter to what you normally hear when you chat with your boyfriend, your girlfriends, your friend girls, and your friend boys. Keep in mind that these couples actually are together. And I would ask you, if what you're hearing from others, is it from couples who are, or people who are together? Weigh that with what they're saying, with what you've heard this folks on the panel today say and live. And to the younger people out there who think that it's 50-50, listen to, you know, replay what they talked about, the percentages in the relationship. Now, these don't have to be absolute, but please listen to what they said, because sometimes your 10 and the other person's 90 still, and I like that phrase, still comes out to 100. It is not humanly possible to be going at 100% all the time. And I'm just giving you some science. It's just not humanly possible. The person that you mate with is the person that typically balances you. Typically, not always, typically. And so listening to these younger couples speak on relationship and marriage, I was thinking, For my black power people, if you want black power, the root of black power is in the foundation, and the root of black power is in family, and that comes from the relationships that you establish. So if you want black power, you just heard a textbook on black power this morning, simply through relationships. So Lee, thank you for finding these wonderful young people to have on your show today. And to you all, thank you for being willing to open up and share these things that I don't think is the norm that we hear out there today when it comes to relationships.
It was pulling teeth, Rodney. It was pulling teeth. Yvonne had 50 million questions. Yvonne was like, look, what time are we going to be on? What I need to look like? I'm like, girl, you talking. You ain't got to look like nothing. I need to know. We wearing blue or we wearing black? I need to know.
Yes, that's right.
Nah, nah, nah. It's not about them. It's not about me finding them. It was them finding me. And, you know, it's all a family dynamic. So it was a beautiful thing. And, I want to thank you all for coming on and showing up and definitely sharing your story. I got an invite to there's a Negro League celebration that happened in Philadelphia today at the baseball game. So I'm actually on the road headed out to that so I can make that in time. And obviously it's the weekend and you're in the Northeast Corridor. Traffic is a mother out here, so I'm trying to make it on time. It's at 4 o'clock, so... Ooh, good Lord, it's not easy being cheesy, my Neesy. But, seriously, man, I appreciate you all getting up. I appreciate you all sharing your stories. I thank you for the love that you show one another. I thank you for the love that you show me. That's all I could ever want and ask for, to be honest with you. You all take care. Have a great day. And, you know, we'll talk soon, without a doubt. You know
right.
what I'm saying? I love you all. Be safe when you travel.
Thank you for giving us a voice, bro.
Thank you.
No problem, man.
I love you too.
All the time. All right. Love you too, man. Hey, Rodney, I'll let them transition out, and you and I can chop it up for a half a second. So the war in Ukraine is still going on. Again, much to our surprise. But, you know, those jokers are holding their own. I don't know where they got the additional aircraft from, blinking my eye and winking, but they got some additional aircraft here lately, so good for them, and hopefully they can keep pushing back into the Russian aggressors. But I'm concerned about the January 6th. We get more and more information about jokers from the sidelines trying to inject themselves into the plague that happened in and around January 6th. Do you think anybody's going to wind up going to jail for this?
Yes. Yes. Not only will people go to jail for this, there may be some people who are on election ballots that will be removed. There may be people who are in office who may be removed. By the power of the 14th Amendment and the Constitution of the United States of America on insurrection for aiding and abetting. I think that there will be some laws changed, maybe even some added with enforcement mechanisms, because this was the biggest threat to America, bigger than a nuclear bomb, maybe almost as big as the threat of slavery was to this country and still is. So in order for us to progress as a nation, things will have to change. Otherwise, this will be a plague that will plague this nation until it falls, and it would fall from strife internally. So, and the war in the Ukraine, we should be paying attention to it because it is a reflection of who America is supposed to be. So, yeah, I think, so the basis of your question, yeah, I do think that there will be someone going to jail, and I don't rule out the President of the United States needing an end that no other president in the history of this country, a former president in the history of this country, has met.
You see these Ethiopians lining up at the Russian embassy to fight for the Russians? You see that, bro? I mean, desperation leads folks down some weird corridors. And I'm thinking of it in respect in regard to the slaves fighting on the side of the Confederacy during the Civil War. here these folks lining up to fight for the Russians in Ukraine in order for them to have a better life. How have we allowed, we being a total people, allowed our world to be so in disarray that folk would be more than willing to join in on the side of tyranny just so that they can provide for themselves and their family?
You know, Dr. King actually spoke about the three evils, and it's kind of interesting that two of those evils sort of show up there, militarism and materialism. And, you know, when you don't have and you are oppressed and you're like that for who knows how long, as many black people in America see, there's a lot of things that you will do that maybe your ancestors wouldn't do and many others won't do. But when you are hurt and oppressed, you want to get out of that hurt and oppression. When I read that article, I think my comment was, this is almost as bad as Africans marrying the Chinese. And it's not because I don't think Africans and Chinese people should be married, but it is when China throws a bunch of money around and comes into villages and uses traditions against the villagers to steal their women so that they can have children, and then oftentimes castigate the women once they've had the children to keep the children, to raise them as Chinese, because they made a mistake that we see Americans making today in not having children. Because, you know, they had the one child, and that one child had to be a boy. Well, once you've done that long enough, you find that the majority of your population are boys, and how do you continue to increase your population if all you have are men? So as bad as it is, Lee, I don't condemn them for doing it, but what I would say is we have to up our game so that people aren't as desperate to take those types of desperate actions to save themselves.
Yeah, man, because, I mean, and to talk about the Chinese coming in, here's the other thought that I had when you were speaking on that. If they do come in, have these children, let's just say these children are boys, but they raise them as Chinese, well, now they actually have a family claim to whatever resources that mother's family has. But they can turn those resources back over to China, and those resources will truly forever be in the people of the continent. So the native people to the continent. Yeah.
You know, Lee, this is not new. One of the reasons why Africa became attracted to the Europeans was because that the Arabians came down and did the same thing. They killed the men. They stole the children, the ones that they didn't think that they should kill. And then they took the women back with them to have children with them and forced them to raise them under their culture. And then and purposely, we even saw that in more recent times with what was happening with the, I believe it was the Tutu. And so history always will repeat itself, maybe even stronger, if we don't learn from it and put up safeguards to prevent what hurt us and to accentuate what has helped us. And we see that with the war in Russia, with Ukraine today. We see that with the white nationalists, as they like to identify it here in America. We see even book banning. Who would have ever thought that America would be banning books as we are today in many of the red states? So this is incumbent upon all of us, and not look at, oh, well, that's over there, because it's not long before over there becomes over here. And these lessons need to be hard lessons that kind of like your panelists for the relationship and marriage. One of the things they said that was super powerful among so many things was that they set the example for their children on how a man should love, should treat his woman, and how a woman should treat a man. They are the example.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, the examples that we set in society today tend to be very negative examples. And we have to realize that our children are always looking. And whatever example that we set, good or bad, typically our children magnify that example. So if it's a bad example, they're going to be worse. And if it's a good example, they're probably going to be better.
No, that's what's up. That's what's up. Did you have anything else you wanted to add before we get out of here? Because I know you're under the weather and I'm trying to get through this traffic.
You know, no, I do. Just that the show that the couples that you had on, I hope that you will bring them back at a later date. And I think we need to do something to kind of push that and maybe even reach out to Sister Syreeta Ziegler to see, get her thoughts on what these couples had to say. I think it was an awesome show, Lee. You had awesome questions. For those out there who have sent me well wishes and who have prayed for me, thank you. I felt them all. I have needed them all. I am not 100%, but I am better that I can share this, a portion of the show with Lee and his guests and with those of you who are listening. And I plan to continue to improve and get back in the fight and hopefully maybe as early as next week.
Awesome. That's what's up. You know, I started the show off talking about self-care, and there's no better example of the necessity of that than when you're not feeling well. But, you know, God willing, creek don't rise, speedy recovery for you, brother, 100%. I want to thank you all for listening live and later. I thank my guests, my brother Ty, his wife Yvonne, my brother Melvin, his wife Charlene. You know what I'm saying? It was definitely a family affair. So grateful that you all were able to join us today, without a doubt. Thank you. Love you much. Love you all. Until next week, you all be good. You be safe.